My guest in the studio this evening is the Chester chief executive, Mark Maguire, who is with us after finally managing to park the car. Liverpool city centre's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, very interesting.
you've managed to dump it somewhere anyway. You've been in the job for a year now. How's it all going from your point of view?
Fantastic from my point of view. I think the frustration when I arrived last year, in July last year, was that I'd kind of missed the pre-season, the close season period, which from a chief exec's point of view is really the key time. And I hadn't managed to influence how we acted in terms of the approach for new players and the change of personnel, let alone all of the commercial things which needed doing and season ticket campaigns. So really for 2 or 3 months before the end of the season, I was desperate for this period to really make some impact, and hopefully we've started to do that.
Yeah, what was it that attracted you to the club in the first place?
I think the opportunity, really. The opportunity to prove, because obviously it's fan-owned, it's owned by the community, and I've been a believer for quite a long time now that there is a commercial model to be had with a fan-owned club. And if I can build the platform, harness the best of it being fan-owned, but put a commercial edge to it, and return the club to the Football League, then that's really quite some achievement, and that's very much my ambition to do and build over a period of time. So it was that opportunity, and so far loving every moment.
Yeah, it's getting the mix right, I suppose, isn't it? Because you've got the passion of the fan-owned element, but you need the professionalism as well, I guess, really.
You do, and I think there's so much. I mean, the volunteers who help us out every single day are incredible, and the passion of the fans, as has been shown this week when I've been speaking to the people renewing their season tickets, is incredible as well. But you just, the danger is you can become a little bit inward looking, so commercially, and it's really important to engage with the business community, and equally on the football side, just introduce the kind of skills and the professionalism which is needed to work, whether that be in the transfer market or whether that be with the authorities, but just to get things in the right place, and hopefully that's what I'm managing to impact a little bit.
And in your previous role was at Hull City, I emphasise the city there, as chief executive. Bit of a drop down the leagues, isn't it? So is there a real sort of culture shock element to this?
There's a falling back in love with football element to this, if I can be honest about it, because I think the danger is that I went into Hull at what was a very difficult time. They'd just come out of the Premier League the first time around with significant levels of debt and all sorts of issues to address. And the amounts of money that are sort of swimming around at that level, there's a danger that the people involved with it don't sort of get the value of football, and the beauty of being involved with a club like Chester is it's real people, it's touchable football, and you're close to it. You've got young lads trying to forge a career in the game who are desperate for every moment, regardless of the fact that their wages would be a minuscule percentage of what those players at Hull would be. And I'm loving every moment of it because of that, really, and because of being able to talk to the season ticket holders, being able to be close to the reality of football on a day-to-day basis, and so it's actually more enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, you perhaps don't want to go into the whole situation too much, but did you feel kind of stuck in the middle a little bit in your role with all that was going on? There was a lot of discontent from the fans, wasn't there? And obviously you were answerable to the owner.
Yeah, not really. I mean, to be honest, the discontent in that you're referring to was kind of after my time, so
right,
I wasn't in the middle of all of that kind of thing. But obviously, I've watched that from a distance, and
realised you were at Chester, and you're glad to be here.
Very much so. Yeah, absolutely.
I bet. But when you are at a club like Hull, you know, and you are in the Premier League or the Championship or wherever they were, I would imagine that experience can only help you in this role, can't it?
I think their experience in football generally, and that's the highs and lows of football, and I've seen sort of all aspects of it. I've seen tough times financially, I've seen promotions, I've seen difficult transfer dealings, I've seen disciplinaries, and I think the experience in football generally is vitally important, and equally important is, I think, that from my commercial background in those environments and in hospitality before, I think I bring the right mix of skills to Chester, and hopefully I can build something decent for the club and for the fans who own it.
Because that's the thing that we don't often think of as fans, isn't it? And it struck me the other week when I was looking at the Sunderland situation, and that is that if a club gets relegated, it affects people's jobs. You know, fans are gutted because they've been relegated, but actually, people are being made redundant behind the scenes, aren't they? Have you been through that process?
No, I have. Yeah, I have, and it's one of the worst things that you ever have to get involved in, and it's very, very, very tough. And so I think that's the key, and that's the beauty again about the kind of Chester model, is that it's being built on solid financial foundations. So it's a club with, I had to check it was a football club when I first got there, because there's money in the bank, and it's sort of run from a financial point of view, it's run, and it's a tight ship. And I think that's really important to build on. And so whilst there might be frustration about the time that progress takes on the pitch, it's about building incrementally, and the rewards, because we achieve it over a slightly longer period of time, will be all the greater for the way that we've done it and the fact that we've done it properly.
And running a club like Chester in the National League, it's the top level of non-league football. And you mentioned there about relying on volunteers. Are all the playing staff full-time at Chester?
Pretty much full-time now. So they'll train Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, and we eke a few extra hours out from them and do a recovery day on a Wednesday as well. And then obviously with matches on a Tuesday and Saturday, they're essentially full-time. And the National League really now is pretty much a full-time league. It's essentially the fifth division of English football. So there are a number of volunteers who come and man the office and man the shop, and at the moment are manning, doing a brilliant job of selling season tickets on our behalf. And then there's just a small smattering of full-time staff on the account side and the office side of things, who kind of try and harness things and drive the business from the middle, as it were. But it relies heavily on those volunteers.
But I suppose it's quite daunting, also quite exciting, when you look at the league and see the clubs that are in that league. Tranmere would be not far away and a very good example of big clubs that you're competing with.
No, they are big, and I think that's the kind of a reality that we've been facing over the last year or so. So last year it was an achievement in some ways to stay in the division based on the budget that we were able to give to the manager, but what we had to do was grow the business and drive in revenues, which meant that we could give him a bit more this year to be more competitive, because we do genuinely want to build a platform which might take a couple of years, but to challenge for the playoffs and then move upwards from there. And as you say, when you see clubs with a budget like Tranmere and like Forest Green last year, who had a huge budget and went up, then it's daunting, but it's a challenge. And you can see various divisions across the various leagues where smaller teams have achieved great things, and that's got to be the ambition for ourselves, and we are fiercely ambitious.
We'll talk about the season in a moment. How did you get into football initially? I know you had a spell at Stockport, didn't you, as MD?
Yeah, clumsily, probably. So I was working in hospitality and had been doing for sort of 20 years, and ultimately and latterly was running a hotel group, but was advising and helping Stockport with various things, including we appointed the manager, Jim Gannon, when he was there. And they'd gone through two or three MDs in a short period of time, and through various conversations, I was invited to apply, which I followed my heart rather than my head, because I was a Stockport fan, and took the job. And it was ultimately, in the first year, it felt fantastic because we got promoted at Wembley. But obviously the financial reality struck after that, so it was a bit more difficult. But that's why I made the move across, and I don't regret it for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, it must break your heart to see them down in the Conference North, League North, whatever you want to call it.
No, it does, and for all sorts of reasons, but it's very difficult. But I'm sure they're building something again, and they'll be on their way back in due course.
And was Jim Gannon a bit of a hero as well, really, I suppose, going into a club like that? I mean, he's a legend in Stockport, isn't he?
No, he remains so, yeah. I mean, he achieved great things as a player, and then obviously achieved incredible things, particularly the promotion at Wembley. So he remains a hero, and he's back there trying to repeat the whole thing.
We'll talk about the season just gone. You had a really promising start, and then there was a bit of worry. You say, you know, you stayed up, and that was the main thing. Were you nervous at the back end of the season?
I wasn't nervous. I was desperate for the season to end, because we knew what we needed to do two or three months before the end of the season in terms of changes of personnel, some slight changes in structure about how we do things behind the scenes. And in terms of preparation, and so I was kind of desperate for that moment. We were fairly confident that we'd got enough points early enough to secure our position. Clearly, you're always there a little bit with your calculators and work out what might happen. But essentially, we were comfortable. But it was just that really frustrating period of wanting either a couple of results to go our way to lift the atmosphere, or more importantly, to get to the season's end and do the things that we needed to do. And once the season did end, then we decided not to go out and sort of talk about it, but just to let our actions talk for themselves. And hopefully that's been the case over the last couple of months.
It's inevitable. I think every manager in the world of football goes through criticism. John McCarthy has had criticism from the fans, particularly towards the end of the season. Was that fair or harsh?
I think largely unfair. And I think the biggest critic of John McCarthy would always be John McCarthy, in that he'll always look himself in the eye and say, well, look, what can I do to take things forward? I think the reality of where we were last year is that we had... I don't want to keep banging on because we're really looking forward to a positive season next season, but we had a low budget in the bottom three in the division. We got absolutely hammered in terms of injuries, so I think we lost 180 matches to players through injury during the course of the year. And even more importantly than that perhaps is that those injuries affected really key players in terms of setting the tone in the dressing room, and not only their ability but the way that they dictated things in the dressing room. And so very much the challenge for us and the thought process before the end of the season was to recruit the right kind of characters, so some experience, some strength, and make ourselves more efficient, really, in terms of the type of people we brought through the door, whether that be through injury or in terms of their character, so that we could guarantee we've got people on the pitch and that we've got more matches out of the people we brought in, and that when things did go a little bit more difficult, that there are characters in there who can really drag things up by the bootlaces.
And I suppose attention to detail is very important as well. And is that why you've brought Chris Iwuolumu in as a striking coach?
Yeah, I think there was some frustration around the place with regard to Chris on the basis that he wasn't there for all of the games. But to be absolutely fair to Chris, from the very start, there was discussion surrounding his media commitments. But obviously, from a fan point of view, when you want to see everybody pulling together every Saturday when things are difficult. So we've identified a significant talent in terms of Tom Shaw as assistant manager. He's absolutely obsessed with coaching. He's got all of the right attributes in terms of his passion for it, his preparation, and fits exactly with the model of things that John wants alongside him. And similarly, Chris has still got those media commitments but made a big impact on our strikers last year. So to keep his skills there for that specific role just helps with our preparation and makes us even stronger this time.
I know people in football don't really like talking about targets, but what would be a reasonable sort of target to come out of the next season?
I think the first, and you don't want to sound negative, but the first thing has to be to get to safety. And that has to be the first points targets. And you'll hear people in every division talking about that. I think Mr. Ranieri, in the season that Leicester won the championship in the Premier League, said that almost towards the end. And that has to be the first aim. And then If you get that points total early enough, then see where it takes you. And I think very much that's the case for this year. And in my mind, my ambition is to grow the club by the same amount again next year that we've done this year. And then we'd be realistic in saying in our season ticket campaign next year, let's aim for the playoffs. If it happens earlier, absolutely fantastic. But it's about building something, and we want the fans that have already been turning up in their numbers to renew to join us in that bit of a journey, really. And if it happens sooner, great, but it's about building something sustainable over a period of time.
Growing up, for me, Chester City, as the old club, were always a football league club. I suppose that shows the potential. You've got quite a big catchment area, you know, that kind of thing.
No, it is. And I think by engaging with those people, by talking to them, by demonstrating that we are ambitious and that we are building something, then we can get a lot of those people back involved. And the great thing about the renewal of season tickets has been that a large percentage of them have been new, as in that they've not been for 2 or 3 years or they didn't come last year. And that's a really positive sign. So the more we can engage and the more young people to come along as well, which we've got at the moment, then it's really, really positive for the long-term future.
And is a lot of the battle about making it affordable? Because at the end of the day, you have on your doorstep Liverpool, Everton, Man United, Man City. There's a lot of massive clubs, but it costs a lot to go and watch Premier League football.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So it is affordable, and we've done things like the under-12s getting in for free for a season ticket this year, which has been hugely successful. But it's also about demonstrating the value of what we do, and so the other difference other than cost of the experience of a club like Chester compared to, with no disrespect, the likes of Liverpool, Everton and Man United, is that it's kind of touchable, it's approachable. You can come down during the week and you can meet the players as they're preparing for the Saturday game. You can see them at the end of the game in the lounges, and you've got access to them. And when I see some of the young kids coming through the door, and the 8 and 9 year olds, and they bump into the likes of Ryan Astles and Ross Hannah, now he's back, then the way their eyes light up is just as effective as if they bump into a Premier League star.
Yeah. That's
what the magic of it is. And the fact that it's more approachable means that we can encourage people from a wider area to come and just get involved. And a significant number of the people who come back have had first experiences of Premier League, but they come to Chester and they, you know what, they realise that they're part of something real, real football. And that's no disrespect to those big clubs, but there's something special about it.
You mentioned there about under-12s. Did you go into the schools in the area? Did you get the players to go and see the kids in the schools?
No, we do. And part of the main sort of job of mine really is to engage with the local community and to make sure that we're in touch with those schools and build relationships over a period of time. Perhaps over the time that Chester City disappeared, that there was a period where that was lost, but it's being built brilliantly now by Jim Green and his community trust. He's the chief exec there. And the engagement and relationship with the schools and the kids throughout the last season or so has been absolutely brilliant.
Can you imagine the scenes if Chester... I know this is a bit of a kind of, you know, we're maybe looking a bit far ahead at the moment, but if Chester got back into the Football League, can you imagine what that stadium would be like?
I've imagined it already, I'll be honest, and I've thought about the way the celebrations would be, because I intend to do everything I can to help the club get there, because it deserves to be there. It deserves to... The job that's been done by the people who reformed the club, the loyalty that the fans have shown and the community have shown by building it back up, if we could reward that by a return to the Football League at whatever point that took place, then it would be an incredible achievement and something that I could sit back and have the odd glass of wine and celebrate, that's for sure.
I'm sure you would. I'm sure plenty of fans would have a pint on that as well. You mentioned actually before about Leicester, because we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago about young Sam Hughes, who's moved to Leicester. Sad to lose him, but how proud that he goes to a Premier League club that they're coming in for your players.
It's a massive moment for the football club, and it's a massive moment not only because obviously there's a financial benefit, but perhaps more importantly because the brave decision was taken when the club was reformed shortly afterwards to create an academy, which cost a bit of money and cost a bit of faith for everybody to invest time and energy and money into that. And for just sort of 6 years later to have produced a player through our own ranks to go to the recently deposed Premier League champions is an incredible achievement. And it also helps in terms of recruitment to say that, you know what, there's a pathway at a club like Chester where young kids can come in. They will get a chance to go into the first team at Chester and they will be developed. And then if they're good enough and they work hard enough and under the tutelage of people like Callum McIntyre on our youth side, And certainly John McCarthy and on the first team, they'll get an opportunity to progress and grow and then be looked at by clubs like Leicester. And inevitably, because we've produced one, then they'll be looking at more, and we've got plenty of young kids coming through to make it a really positive for the future. But essentially, from our point of view, the first thing we want to see is them playing for our first team.
Any names you can give us? You probably don't want to flag them up too early.
It's really exciting across the number. So there's Matty Waters just going into his second year as a pro. And we've got a fantastic local sponsor, Swetnam Chemist, who help us take on first-year pros and fund their wages for the first year. And he's a product of that. And Matty's exciting everybody with his technical ability. And then the three young lads who've just got a first-year pro, James Jones, Nathan Brown and Tom Crawford, who's from the estate just a mile away from the ground, who get everyone excited. It's great to see the three lads come through with fantastic potential as well. So there's plenty coming through and lots of opportunity for fans to be excited.
We mentioned there about the big names in the league that you'll be competing with next season. Of course, one of them, there's Hartlepool and there's also Leighton Orient, who've just had a real kind of saga with regards to their ownership. They're probably going to have a bit more money now. It shows you how quickly things can go wrong in football, though, doesn't it?
It's really easy for that to be the case. And I think, you know, I live in sort of North Yorkshire still at the moment, in the process of moving down. But so I'm kind of aware and in touch with the reality of what's gone on at Hartlepool. And I think there's been a bit of a struggle there in that the owners lived in London and it's been almost run remotely, the club, for a period of time. And it's really important at a club that you get that sort of harmony and that closeness, and which we can certainly feel at the moment in Chester. And as far as Leighton Orient, then it's been messed around with, I think, by an owner who's just left. We've been checking the financial position of Dunkin' Donuts all day to see how strong Leighton Orient are going to be next year. But essentially, yeah, no, I think it can go wrong very, very quickly and without being like a broken record. I think the beauty of the way things have been run at Chester is that there's a strong financial position. And we're looking to grow incrementally, not to take too many risks, but definitely grow, and we're definitely ambitious.
We were talking to John Dernan just as you came in a while ago. He's obviously involved with Southport, not too far away. Sad to see Southport not in your league anymore, unfortunately.
No, really sad. Really sad because that's, again, was a good fixture for us and a fixture where there are a lot of Southern-based teams in the division that we're in, and so it was a closer one for Chester fans to go to and Southport fans to visit us. So we are sad to see them go and obviously wish them all the best with bouncing back.
And in terms of... that must have a big impact on your budget, actually, where the other teams are in the league. Do you always travel down on the day and travel back on the day, or sometimes do you stay in hotels?
We do sometimes stay in hotels, and that's something, again, in terms of pushing things and growing what we do, we've tried to put a bit more money towards hotel stays and prepare in the right way, because there's some really long trips there. And I think the preparation of the players is absolutely crucial. So when we do generate more income, whether that be through a player transfer or commercial deals, then part of that has to be allocated towards the way that we prepare the team. And the great thing about the players that have come in have been really complimentary about the professionalism and the atmosphere and the environment that we're trying to create, because we are going that extra mile to create that Football League sort of standard of preparation.
Yeah, who have you got lined up for pre-season?
So the way that John wanted to do it, there are no huge names, with no disrespect. So we've got a series of away games, and that's really about match fitness. So we've got various teams that we're playing. And then the two main home fixtures are to get the team into the kind of regular match day routine. So there are two Saturdays where we play Walsall and Port Vale, which are a good level and a really good standard for our team to test themselves against. Obviously, if one of the big Premier League clubs wanted to come knocking and offer us a friendly, we might find space. But essentially, that's the main thing is not to just charge off and find a fixture for the sake of it. It's about preparing the team in the right way.
Absolutely. Well, are you chomping at the bit for the new season to start already?
In one respect, I can't wait. In another respect, as I said to the manager last week, it'd be great for the players to have another 3 weeks off, because I guess you'd get some work done and on the commercial side. But joking aside, really looking forward to it and very optimistic about the progress that we've made on and off the pitch.